You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Show number 142. As they like to say, you know, when you say 911 Porsche, right. You guys are really cool. They say that it's the 911.
Or 442.
Or 442. 442. Instead of 442.
Right.
Or 911. Or really, if you're cool with a Porsche, you'd say 996 or a 997. And I said that to Kathy, my wife, last night. She's like, well, why is it a 911 if it's a 997?
I'm
like,
it's confusing.
I don't know. You know, it's like we talked about, BMW engines that they swap into other cars, and they don't tell you what year and model the engine came out of. They tell you the architecture name, M72812, and everybody goes, oh, the 300 horse version.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about.
There's a lot of geeks who know like what that stuff means. I don't.
I don't know either. Speaking of geeks, this is a geeky place to come, isn't it? We see people come in and they're just overwhelmed at all the cars. And if you're a car geek, then this is the place for you.
Because for sure.
We have, guess how many cars we have in there?
951.
933. We have, I think probably we've stabilized. I think we're going to start going up because the consignments are really starting to pick up. And they were a little slow, and they're always slow because of weather. Mm-hmm. Either snow in the winter or this rain that we get every weekend. So last weekend, which was May the 18th or whatever it was a car show planned for here, the Chariots of Fire that Pastor Weed puts on, and they got rained out. So they're coming this weekend, which will be May the 25th, which if you're listening to us on whatever those radio stations were
WWDB.
There you go.
860 AM and 97.5 HD2.
Thank you. We you can make it shot out here because we're going to have two car shows this weekend. One in the front parking lot, the north lot facing the turnpike, and one in the back parking lot on the south side. And there should be approximately 300 or 400 cars at each car show.
Wow. So almost 800 cars plus the 900 inside.
933
inside. So if you're in the Philadelphia area today, Saturday, come on out.
Bring your jogging shoes.
Saturday, May 25th. And we're open till noon. So you can come inside first and enjoy the cars indoors and get your groove on, and then go outside and hit all the cars in the afternoon. Both of them last till about 3 or 4 p.m. So,
and if you're into diecast cars, there's always some cool vendors out here for Pastor Weed. By the way, Pastor Weed, a great guy.
Yeah,
sounds like somebody from Northern California, like a car show from Northern California.
Marin County.
It's Pastor Weed's car show.
Pastor Weed's car show. And Pastor Weed, you know.
That's really his name, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's his name. Yeah. Maybe he's under an alias. Maybe we'll have to really.
Such a great name for a car show.
We'll dig down and drill down on him the next time
he actually was our first guest
on
the show.
He was absolutely our first guest, which was so appropriate. He's been doing car shows here for 6 years since we started.
Wow.
I think I came here in September of 2017, and we started the consignment business in January 1st of 2018. Mm-hmm. And we went to his car show in April that year down at Boeing down towards the airport.
Oh.
And then we started talking to him, and he decided he wanted to come up here and move his 3 or 4 car shows a year. He used to do them at 3 or 4 different places and he'd move it here. Been doing it ever since. Probably done 20 plus car shows here since we started. So,
good for him.
Yeah. And gives it, you know, it's a wonderful thing. He raises money for his church, and, we're happy to be a part of it and happy to have him here. And
isn't it true in most cases they kind of recycle, trophies for the winners, which is kind of cool too. Cause what do you do with all, we were just talking about that at Ambler. Like, what do you do with all these trophies? Just boxes of trophies.
I mean, and the nicer the car you have, the more trophies you end up winning. And the problem is that, it's hard to keep them all. First of all, some of them are just kind of cheap plastic trophies, which is okay. It's a recognition. It's the thought that counts, like with a gift.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
not the fact that, you know, but the ones that most people keep are stuff that's maybe of a national meet. You win the Pontiac Oakland Nationals or AACA Senior or the Zenith Award or something that's very, very significant. Yes, it's wonderful that you win a trophy at your local church parking lot. And that's great because it's, you know, your peers are telling you they love your car. However, the people that are going to buy the car from you usually don't care about those trophies.
Right.
So we kind of put them aside, and then Pastor Weed repurposes them. He
yeah.
changes the nameplate and does all the thing. And so they don't just get thrown out.
Very cool.
So way to go, Pastor Weed. And I got to tell you, talking about events, I went to a Aronimink Country Club down in Wayne. I guess it's Wayne. I don't know. Everything down that way.
Newtown Square.
Yeah, thank you. Everything that's down that way with nice big houses, I just consider it, assume it's Wayne.
Mainline.
It's Mainline Wayne. And Bert, first of all, what a gorgeous golf course.
It almost makes you want to take out golfing, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, I do golf.
Oh,
but
do you?
We just haven't had time. But apparently the U.S. Open is going to be there in 2026, which is really cool. Beautiful clubhouse, beautiful facility. And the Ferrari Club of America had a Ferrari concours and show, and it was really well attended. Some beautiful cars. I've got the itch again for a 599 GTB because there was like six or seven of them there. And they had some great cars.
And this was by you had to be a member or invitation.
Invitation. But I mean, nobody's checking badges, you know.
Oh,
but,
really?
But it's one of those things that it's such a pigeonhole thing. You know, it's not. They're not spending a lot of money advertising it. They're just advertising within the club, and maybe a straggler who happens to drive by pulls up and wanders in, and that's okay too. But it was wonderful, and they put on a great show, and a lot of great friends of ours were there, and hopefully we're going to get a lot of Ferraris on
that'd,
consignment.
That'd be amazing.
From that. Yeah, because
in our boutique
in
section.
Our boutique section, which we keep threatening to do, but anyway. Thanks to, you know, one thing I haven't done in a while is thank the Pat Travers Band for
yes.
wonderful music and catch them out on tour. They're the last we heard. They were in Denmark, I think. So all of our Denmark listeners.
Hello. All three of them.
Yeah. Please log in. We do have some Denmark watchers on YouTube and our YouTube channel. If you're not subscribing to our YouTube channel, do it now.
Yeah.
We need your help.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, President.
Yeah. We're up to almost 4,000 subscribers on YouTube,
yeah.
which is not nothing because this time last year, what do we have? 200, yeah. 300?
No, 2,400.
Yeah, 2,400. So we've
about doubled in a year.
Doubled in a year. That's not bad. If we exponentially keep doubling,
right.
then, you know, by the end of next year, we'll be at 10,000. I don't know how that works. I mean, let me rephrase that. I don't know that if it works that way, if the momentum builds new subscribers, begat new subscribers, or if it just happens sort of somebody happens to wander or stumble onto our site and likes the show and clicks on it.
Right, right. Well, it's a lot of it's about sharing and you know, influencers like we had Tony Angelo on and got some nice results from them. We're going to have hopefully Christy Lee and Linda Vaughn and a bunch of other people.
A lot of people who are well-known within the hobby and therefore will – give us a little bit more exposure. And we were hoping to have our car buddy friend Jay Leno on our last week, but he couldn't make it here, unfortunately. But hopefully next time he's in town, he's going to come visit us. He did go to see our buddy Lou Mascaro up at in Birdsboro at Lou's Exotic Car Showroom and Emporium. And Lou's collection is absolutely unbelievable. It's open on Sundays. If you get a chance, go see it. And then we saw Leno, of course, in concert at his – at the Santander.
Oh.
Not arena.
Arena, yeah.
No, not the arena. Santander. The other thing. The performance hall.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Performing Arts Center.
Performing Arts Center. There
downtown
we go.
Reading.
Yeah, I went to the wrong one. I went to where they were doing the Matchbox car show, and I had to walk six blocks.
So no fun with that. So, and I was just giving a shout out before we went on the air to the New York State Thruway. Company, organization, whatever they are.
Be the state, probably.
State, yeah, I think they own that. I don't think it's privately owned. The smoothest road you've ever been on in your entire life. It is so well maintained.
Just be sure you move to the left lane if there's a police officer in the right lane who had stopped somebody because my wife got a ticket there because she forgot to switch lanes.
She forgot to switch lanes. That's like driving 101, right? For most of us. I move over. You're supposed to move over. Get over. Yeah. And in Germany, if you pass somebody, first of all, if you left lane bandit in Germany, they will give you the biggest ticket you get in Germany. Yeah. On the Autobahn, if you're in the left lane and not moving over, get your, you know what, over. Because passing on the right hand side is very, 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 very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It is, people aren't can't see as well over there. There's the distortion from the mirror. There's a lot of different reasons. So anyway.
And since you're doing a shout out, I did want to do a mention to Jegs Auto Parts.
Yes.
Because they had, I wanted to tell you about the Facebook post they had. It was a sign at a valet and it said valet, and below it somebody stuck no stick shifts.
Right.
And their comment was, I guess we're eating somewhere else.
Jegs, by the way, not a sponsor yet.
Not a sponsor yet.
But hey, yeah, welcome. But shout out.
Yeah. Where did we sell cars this past couple of weeks?
Where?
How about this past week? Not couple of weeks.
Yeah.
First and foremost, West Sussex, United Kingdom.
You.
How cool. Naples, Florida. Port Deposit, Maryland. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Stewartstown, Pennsylvania.
Hey, now.
No relation.
Hey, now.
Willow Street, Pennsylvania. Thornton, Colorado. Cheney, Pennsylvania, Greenwood, Delaware, Niagara Falls, New York, Exton, Pennsylvania, Hellam, Pennsylvania, Shillington, Pennsylvania. A little light week for us.
Yeah, but over in the UK. Now, you don't have to tell us what kind of car. Was it just say whether it was a British car or not?
It was not.
It was an American car.
Yeah.
How about
Corvette?
That?
Oh,
that was
awesome.
Corvette. Yeah. Corvette went to the UK. Actually, it was a guy that was here that lived in the UK, saw the car here at Classic Auto Mall, went home, and then did all the financial thingamajig that you do when you have to buy a car from us.
It makes sense that it's not wasn't a British car.
Did you get pounds sterling or euros?
I think it was euros. So some of the new arrivals, we'll get to that quickly. We'll run through these. 2011 Ford Mustang GT CS California Special, black over charcoal. Three owners.
Wow.
How cool is that? 9,500 original miles. One of 804 built. It's got the Coyote 5-liter V8. Factory fresh. It's a neat car. I like these.
Three owners who didn't drive the car.
Yeah. And I like these. They're not highly collectible. They made a ton of them. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the California Special, but just Mustang GTs in general. And they're great value for what you get out there. So check that out. Also in, 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air sedan, Glacier Blue and India Ivory over blue, garage kept, long-term ownership. A four-door sedan. Mm-hmm. I love it. Nicely restored. It's got the 235 cubic inch inline six. You know, you used to be able to not sell a four-door sedan. But that's changed because values have gotten so high and expensive that a four-door sedan, you know, kind of fits the bill. And if you're in the driver's seat driving a four-door sedan, it feels the same as a two-door hardtop or a two-door sedan or even a convertible.
Absolutely.
So, how about the 06 Mercedes-Benz SLK 280 Roadster? We love this car. Fire Mist Red Metallic over beige, 43,000 actual miles. This thing was, restored, maintained the way you should maintain a car.
It really was.
All the records, all the books, polished, meticulous, just really pampered. Pampered is a perfect name for
yes,
it.
Yes, thank you.
we'll go with that. 7-speed automatic and a 228 horsepower V6.
Plenty.
And then the 69 Olds 442 W30 convertible. This thing is bad to the bone. Well documented. Saffron over black. Rarer than rare. It's got a dealer factory or a dealer replacement 400 cubic inch V8. I've got the original Turbo Hydromatic 400, near perfect restoration, just a beauty. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the definition of muscle car. And, I think it's one of six, automatics known to exist, I think,
wow.
of that thing. And then the one we were just talking about a few minutes ago, yeah. The 2008 Ford Explorer Sport Track Adrenaline with the Mustang motor, 69,000 actual miles. It looks like it's got about 600
it really
actual
does.
Miles. This thing.
Talk about pampered.
Pampered. This thing is unbelievable. Well appointed too. I like that.
Yeah, really nice. And of course the track, the sport tracks were really desirable as is.
Right.
This is the adrenaline sort of the up.
And last but not least, the Maserati Gran Turismo 2015 Bianco Eldorado over Nero, 25,000 actual miles. These things are quite the value from what they sticker. Sticker was probably 100 and da, 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 da. So if you get a chance, check these out on our website, classicautomall.com. And when we return, we'll have our dear friend Harry Hurst on the telephone. He's traveling on his way up to back home to Pennsylvania. So he's been down in Florida. So we'll visit with him about the Cool Cars for Kids show coming up at the Simeone Museum. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom. It's a real indoor mall. If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are. We sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
Since the 1960s,
J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
What do doctors talk about in doctors' lounges around the country? Find out on The Doctor's Lounge Show, every Thursday at 8 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Our dear friend Harry Hurst is on the line. Harry, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is to you.
Yeah, it's still good. We're down here in Gettysburg, beautiful Gettysburg. And nice to be on the show again, Stuart.
Thanks. The second time we've had you on. And are you on your way home from Florida? Is this via Gettysburg?
Yep. We try and do a little hopscotch as we come back up and visit friends and do different things. So this is the last time we're going to stop at the Eastern Museum of Motor Racing there in York, right after we finished talking. And none of your viewers have ever been to that museum. It's another jewel here in Pennsylvania of automotive museums. A wonderful, wonderful place.
And where is it located? In Gettysburg, or is it?
No, in York.
Oh, in York, yeah.
It's about 15 minutes north of here.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Right off of, the turnpike in Route 15.
I saw in your travels you ended up at the old man's place down in Ocala, Garlett's. I ended up there one time too, and the lady in the museum said to me, she says, "I just go out back. He's out there somewhere." I just was wandered in, and I went, and he came around the corner, and right nose to nose was Don Garlitz, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I wanted to meet you." And he goes, "All right, well, come on in."
Yeah, I can't tell you why yet. I was there meeting with him, but Marcia and I, again on our way back up north, we stopped in and we sat in his office for 15-20 minutes, talking about why I was there, and then he looks up and says, "You guys hungry?" He said, "Cracker Barrel's one of our favorites. Catfish."
Oh yeah.
And we said, "Oh yeah, let's go." So we went over to Cracker Barrel. It turns out that Garlitz—I hope I'm not spilling any beans here—but Garlitz, years ago, when he decided to open that museum, he bought that whole plot of land all around that exit there off of I-75. Huge amount of land.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he said, "So I built my museum, and I call up Cracker Barrel, and I said, 'You need a restaurant here.'" And they said, I'll lease you the land. And they said, "No, we don't lease land." And so they went away for a while. And finally, they came back when the area started getting real popular and said, "You still interested in leasing us that land?" So the restaurant there we had breakfast at or had lunch at, he leases them the land. They come over and they say, "Hi, Don, you want some more coffee?"
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. What an interesting museum he has down there as well.
God, and what an interesting man.
Right.
I tell you, God almighty, he's incredible. He's in his 90s, and yet his memory is just as sharp as a tack. He goes into the museum pretty much every day.
Sure.
And all over the place. And, he's an inspiration. And, a genius. I mean, he was the man that, as you well remember, in the days of the front engine fuel cars, the flywheels would come apart fairly frequently. In fact, they had a scatter shield that they would bolt around the housing of the transmission to keep that, from damaging them. Well, it came apart on him and it took off part of his foot. Now, a normal human being like you or I would say, "Well, I got the message."
Yeah, that was fun. Now let's find something a little safer to do.
Right. Now, what he did is he said, "Well, hell, maybe the engine shouldn't be there. I'm going to put it back," And nobody had really thought of that before. even though the way with the engine in front, they're sitting on the differential with the transmission between their legs. And so you would think, I'm not sure if that's a real good idea. But he figured it out. Well, stick it in the back, you know, and everybody thought, oh, that's the stupidest idea. It turned out, of course, it was brilliant. And he made it work. And, of course, went on to do what Don Garlitz has only done. You know, I mean, he's the man.
Yeah. Well, and how many countless lives he saved as well, too, for, you know, and injuries and all of that just by coming up with that. And sometimes the simplest ideas are, you know, the best ideas. And, you know, I love that he gets back on the horse. Kathy's the same way. My wife, she just broke her shoulder, skiing about 10 weeks ago in Colorado. And she said, we're going skiing again. Don't. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. I broke a shoulder. Count me out.
Really, really.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, Harry is the, among the many hats that he wears, the director of programming at the Simeone Foundation Automotive Museum in downtown Philadelphia. And, we are having him on for a couple of reasons, because we like talking to him. We could have him on every week. And, but the reason we wanted to have him on was to talk a little bit about the event coming up at the Simeone, which has become kind of a staple in the automotive world, if you will, and that's the Cool Cars for Kids at the Simeone.
Right. Yeah, that's it's a great event, and I think we've been doing it there since 2018, as I remember. And what it is, Dr. Ian Krantz came up with this concept. He's a car guy, but he also works over at CHOP at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And he works in the Roberts Institute for, you know, genetic diseases.
Right.
And I didn't really even know this, but over 400 kids are born every day with a congenital anomaly.
Right.
A genetic issue. And, it's not as rare, you know, as you might think. And what they do is they help raise awareness of this and help fund the research that goes into helping to find the solutions to this. And it's, you know, painstaking work, because in a lot of cases, these diseases, you know, can be almost unique to each individual.
Right.
And require individual genetic therapy, you know, to find a cure for it. And needless to say, you know, the cost is incredible to do that. But the great thing is, as they are doing more and more of this and learning how to sequence the genes, you know, they're being able to figure this out, you know, quicker and easier. And, you know, the more they do, the quicker it gets and the cost comes down. So what they're doing is life-saving stuff, and it's life-changing stuff. One of the things they do, we have there's two events associated with the Philadelphia Concours, which is the event at the museum that benefits the Cool Cars for Kids. And Saturday night on the 22nd, we do a gala dinner. And during the dinner, then they show, a series of videos from, you know, the parents of these kids and some of the kids as well. And the effect that it's had on them, the benefit is just, you know, staggering.
Sure.
You know, what they do is so good. And so it's really, you know, an honor, you know, to be involved with all of this. Sunday, the 23rd, we actually do the Philadelphia Concours there at the museum. And this year, every year, we kind of focus on one particular mark. And this year is going to be Jaguar, and I'm saying that in the proper English.
I heard. It's a vase too, right?
I'm practicing this because we're having the car show that's being organized by Mike Tilson, and that may be a familiar name to many of you. He also does Radnor Hunt. And Mike is putting together an incredible display of Jaguars for that display inside. And then we're going to also have car corrals outside of the museum.
Nice.
3-acre parking lot and back. And I'm going to be hosting, moderating a panel on the main stage, and there on stage we're going to have several really well-known Jaguar people, including Chip Robinson,
right?
You know, for Bob Tullius,
right?
And Dean Cusano, who's a very well-known Jaguar restoration guy, especially E-types. But we're going to have Mike Dale there. And for any of you who know North American Jaguar history, Mike is, you know, was head of Jaguar here in the United States for many years, did the marketing and sales in the 60s. And, you know, is Mr. Jaguar. So that's why I'm practicing my pronunciation so that, you know, I say it right for him.
Absolutely. You got to do that because, you know, no different than Jackie Stewart when he used to pronounce Acura, he called it the Acura. So,
in addition to them though, I have also, done Zoom interviews that will have projected on the back screen with Bob Tullius.
Wow.
Group
44.
Group 44. And then Tony Dow, who was the team manager for the TWR team here in the United States.
Right.
And he's got a great story that he tells on how the U.S. team undercut the European TWR team to win Le Mans.
Wow.
It's a fabulous story of the tricks they pulled that year when they were racing supposedly as one unified team. It was hardly anything but.
Right.
A great story. And then we're going to have a really interesting guy who I've never met before or heard of, a guy named Neil Smith. He's got a new book coming out called On the Prowl, and it's the definitive history of the Walkinshaw Jaguar sports car team. And the book is not yet published. It's coming out right now. But he did a really nice little talk on the prehistory of Jaguar, you know, before the 60s. So
sure.
It's going to be a really nice little presentation for Jaguar fans and even those of you who are just interested in automotive history.
Well, I can tell you the Group 44 cars back in the IMSA days with the white, with the green round logo, they were the best. They were the coolest looking cars on the track always.
And the guys were always dressed in white. You know, they had the white shirts, the white pants with the green stripes. I mean, they were a class act. One of the things I get Bob to talk about, which I did not appreciate. You know, we all thought of his racing efforts, but what his real value was is in the marketing of Jaguar here in the United States.
Right.
And he actually was one of the very early racing teams to understand the concept of activation. And that is the taking your sponsor's presence and making it visible at the racetrack in terms of customer hospitality there in the pit, in the paddock area, and having, for example, all the Jaguar dealers in the area could invite their customers to come out, have a tour of the pit area and see the cars and then have lunch there, you know, under tents and all of that. That kind of thing was actually very rare for a team to take that responsibility.
Sure. Yeah. Not something they thought of was in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. And so Bob talks a lot about how that was a major thrust of their racing effort was making sure that the Jaguar British Leyland people felt they were getting their money's worth in terms of the whole total promotional effort, not just a win on the track. You know, that was almost icing on the cake to just the experience that their customers got at the racetrack and seeing, you know, the cars out there, you know, competing, you know, against Porsches and others. So, a very, very interesting guy and a real legend in motorsport.
Absolutely. When we come back from our break, we'll continue our conversation with Harry, on the, Simeone and also Glory Days of Racing and all the other stuff that he's involved in. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio. We're at the studio. Our friend Harry Hurst is out on the road somewhere, is the roving reporter of the day. Thanks again for joining us and putting, I'm sorry to keep your average mile per hour down now by having to stop on the side of the road and do this. And, but I really appreciate it. So let me ask you something. We were talking about, Group 44 Racing and Bob Tullius and how they had an influence on sponsorship things and all that. Did win on Sunday, sell on Monday apply to Jaguar back in the day?
Wow. You know, we'd have to ask Mike Dale that.
Oh, that'd be a good question, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to write that. it is. It's a really good question. You know, those were really tough years, in the late 60s and early 70s. I mean, British Leyland was just going through so many different permutations. And then finally, Egan came in and was able to spin Jaguar off separately again as a separate company. And then, of course, you know, once the 80s hit and they finally got the bugs worked out of the XJ6, you know, that became a pretty good seller. That was sure a nice motor car. We had we actually had two of those.
Right.
And loved them. Just wonderful cars. And then we had an XJS as well, which was also a very nice car with the B12.
You know, was that a coupe you had or a convertible?
No, I had a the XJS was a coupe. Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, great cars. Oh,
it was a Lister conversion.
Oh well, dang.
Yeah, it had the and it was they did 125 of them here in this country, and it was a real kit that they sent over. G.W. Bartlett handled it here in the United States, and the dealers would send the cars to Bartlett. And they would pull the automatic transmission out and put a 5-speed Getrag transmission in.
Nice.
So it had, you know, clutch and hydraulics and all of that. And then they put BBS wheels and Koni shocks and did some other stuff to it. Had an aero kit on it. And it was a really, really fun car to drive. Really, really enjoyed it. But, you know, then the reality of life. Over,
yeah. A pesky life, right? I love, you know, you mentioned three things that were so popular back in the day: Getrag, BBS wheels, Koni shocks. You know, that was every guy that owned a car or wanted to own a particular car would make the list of everything that they would do to said car when they got it, and you would add BBS wheels, and you'd add Koni shocks, and you'd add Getrag 5-speed, and you'd add a, you know, whatever it was, and that was all on our list. And when you said that, it just kind of flooded back the memory of making my little car list.
Yeah.
So the Simeone has some fantastic Jaguar. I mean, the history of Jaguar is so deep and interesting and fascinating. And the museum has an amazing couple of two or three Jaguars, right? Can you talk a little of that?
Yeah, well, actually, they have one that almost goes back to the very beginning of Jaguar. It's a SS-100.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back when the company was actually called the SS Car Company. And
right.
Good for Swallow Sidecar, because it started as a sidecar. They made sidecars for motorcycles. Then they went into making automobiles, and they made the SS-90 and then the SS-100, which is a gorgeous-looking automobile.
Sure.
But this is in the late 1930s, and, of course, during World War II, you know, SS started to have a completely different connotation. And they had actually called one of their SS models a Jaguar, and they decided, you know, okay, we're going to change the name of the company to Jaguar.
Right.
And after the war, that's what, you know, they got changed over into that, and they knew they needed a real home run car to launch the company after the war, and so they came out with the XK120 with a venerable XK engine in it, that six-cylinder dual overhead cam motor that powered virtually every Jaguar except for the V12s, but they used that same motor, almost the same concept, for four decades.
Wow.
Which I think is unheard of.
Like the small block Chevy, right?
Yep. And it won Le Mans. That basic motor configuration won Le Mans five times. You know, with the first the C type,
right?
The XK120 that had been essentially lightened and had a more aerodynamic body put on it. The car actually, its real name is an XK120-C, but everyone calls it a C type. And we have one of those in the museum in beautiful condition that we'll have as part of the show.
Wow.
And then after the C type became started losing its competitive edge, the Jaguar engineers came out with arguably one of the most revolutionary automotive designs of all time, and that's the D-Type.
Beautiful car.
Yeah, and the first one to use I'm going to call it a semi-monocoque construction, because it has a framework up front to hold the engine assembly. And then it's got a monocoque center structure, you know, with the rear end, bolts in underneath that.
Sure.
But it was the first time that type of construction had really been used, to that degree in a racing car, we'll say. And that came out of their experience during World War II. A lot of the guys at Jaguar had worked, you know, in the plants during World War II. And we have a beautiful D-Type that you may not know this. Our D-Type, which finished third at Sebring with the Indy 500 winner Swikert, was driving it. Juan Manuel Fangio took him around Sebring that year and showed him how to drive a car at Sebring. So,
gee, that's an unfair advantage.
Actually been driven by Juan Manuel Fangio. I just bought is Swikert's wife published a book about, you know, their life together and everything. And she talks about that. She talks about that Fangio, you know, they became good friends, and Fangio took him around and showed him how to drive it.
Jeez.
Jaguar. Yeah, isn't that a great
story? I love stuff like that. You know, the stories in this hobby are the greatest, and stuff like that didn't even know. I mean, I've seen that car probably 20 or 30 times down at the Simeon, no idea, you know. And that changes how I look at something when you know something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing Fred, the leather of that seat is the same leather that you had on.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, a little known fact, too, the Volkswagen was going to be called the Hitler, but they decided that was just not going to be cool, so... So, tell me...
Let me do a quick plug, though. A show in November 16th, we start our tribute to Volkswagen, 75 years in America.
Awesome.
We've got cars coming up from the Volkswagen Museum down in Reston, Virginia. And we're going to have a bunch of really cool old Volkswagens there.
I love that you have space to do stuff like that, because you have plenty of space down there at the Simeon. It's not like you're in such a small area. You've got a nice big area to do lots of nice display stuff, in addition to the 70 plus cars that are in there currently.
Right. Yeah. No, it's fun that we have that flexibility. I was just down at another jewel of a museum, the Tampa Bay Auto Museum down at Pinellas Park.
Right.
And again, if anybody ever is in the Tampa Bay area, you have to go there. And the problem is, you know, they have no space.
Right.
At all. They literally couldn't add another car if they wanted to. And it's a real shame, because the cars they have are unique, and they tell the story of automotive engineering like no other museum I have ever been in.
Wow. That's saying a lot, because you've been in a lot of museums.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a wonderful place. But
well, so many museums are either, you know, undersized, underfunded, yeah. You know, fill in the blank, and the Simeon doesn't have either one of those problems.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that Fred had been very acutely aware of the situation at other museums. I mean, look at what just happened to the Mullen Museum.
Crazy.
You know, what a tragedy.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, so he knew that very well, and, you know, was very, you know, made arrangements, you know, before his passing, you know, that the museum would continue to go on and thrive.
Well,
luckily we've got Kevin Kelly, and Amanda Jimenez, you know, running, the show there, you know, with Chris Webb and, William Murphy, helping, push things along. So, it's in good hands. I think Fred is happy.
I got to believe so, because a lot of people don't realize, I mean, like the LeMay Museum has no endowment. They have no money. Every year they have to raise everything that they need to survive for the year. And that's a tall task. It's not easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and people think, you know, you make all the money, you know, with people buying tickets. Actually, museums don't make any money at all.
Right.
The way, you know, museums make money is events and rental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you rent out the event for, you know, for parties and business events and things like that. And that's why, you know, when Fred bought that building, you know, he had really studied this. He had actually taken courses at Temple University in museum management before he even.
Because he had all that free time, right?
Yeah. Almighty. But he realized very early on, you know, that rentals is the key. And so when he saw this building and saw that the cars could be arranged around the perimeter and leave the center space open for, we can do sit down dinners for up to 600. It's the largest event space like that in the city of Philadelphia.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And plus we have 3 acres of parking out back for free.
Right.
You know, you can do these kind of events and it's not a big deal. Fred really, you know, for a man who had so many other interests and commitments in his life, to be able to also figure out, you know, the intricacies of running a museum and how to make it profitable, you know, is amazing.
Sure.
He did that as well.
Well, I mean, there's guys like Dr. Simeon who we all look up to or look to and say, where do they find the time to do everything that they did? I mean, I find myself, I got no time to do anything, and I don't do half of what he did, and I'm not doing brain surgery, and I'm not running a museum, you know, I'm just, you know, schlepping along here in Morgantown, and it's like, where do they find all this time to, like my partner buying 400 barn finds, where do you find time to buy 400 cars? Jeez.
Well, you know, but the greatest thing he did, and he readily admits this, was he raised his daughter, Christina, single-handedly. And not only, I mean, it wasn't like he just provided a roof over her head. She talks quite a bit about what an involved parent he was with her in terms of taking the time to spend time with her and play with her and just
right.
You know, do all of that, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me how truly great people never seem to have a lack of time available.
Sure. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, we're really looking forward to the event. June 22nd through the 23rd. The 22nd is the preview gala and dinner, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then the car show in Concord is on Sunday, June the 23rd. At the Simeone Foundation, you can go to their website, which is simeonefoundation.org.
SimeoneMuseum.org.
Gotcha. And then you can also, I think, link to the Cool Cars for Kids. And if you want to get involved with that, certainly do, and certainly support this great cause and come out and see some really cool cars.
Great. Thank you, Stuart, so much for all your support that you give to the museum and everything. You know, what you guys do at Classic Car Auto Mall is really out, you know, it's mind boggling, you know, what you've done there. And the thing is, you spread that throughout the hobby, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, I just feel fortunate that we're able to do that, Harry. Good chatting with you, and we will see you in a couple of weeks, if not sooner.
Sounds good.
We'll catch you on the Classic Auto Mall in just a couple of minutes. We'll be back with the show. See you in a few.
No matter what you think is a classic car, you'll probably find one at Classic Auto Mall. How about a two-owner 2003 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe with 5,105 actual miles? Like trucks? Maybe a 66 Chevrolet C10 Stepside with a 350 V8 and a TCI 700R4 automatic transmission, or a 1984 Chevy C10 short bed, chopped, shaved, louvered, and a nearly new 355 V8. How about true classics like a 1926 Pontiac Series 627-665. It's the first year Pontiac with multiple AACA awards. And let's not forget Mustangs, like a 67 hardtop, three owners, and a fully known history, or a 1998 Mustang Cobra convertible with 38,209 actual miles, one of just 343 built. So whatever floats your boat or opens your garage, with over 1,000 constantly changing vehicles, you'll probably find it at ClassicAutoMall.com.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Watching on YouTube or listening on any of your favorite podcast sites or on the local radio stations or on America's Web Radio.
We're
too.
Everywhere.
We are everywhere. We're nationwide. We are ZZ Top.
And don't forget about TikTok. 50,000 yeah. people are enjoying the videos, which I only do once a week. Now.
Yeah.
Come in, shoot
great.
A video, and I shot that Lexus RCF Track Edition.
I want to talk to our buddy Scott Pruitt about that because that thing is a beast. And it's funny because performance Lexus or Lexi, plural,
yeah, right.
Are usually a little vanilla. You know, yeah, they're fast, but they're like electric car fast, like a Tesla
they're
fast.
Like they're like pedestrian
very
fast.
Very smooth,
yeah.
Very quiet. But screaming fast, but that thing has got a little meat to it.
This thing could take an LFA, actually. I wrote in the write up, it's four times as rare as an LFA,
right?
And it has four seats, so you
right.
can take your kids along, and it yeah. is spectacular. I didn't even know they existed.
I didn't either. I'd never
and
seen
I had
one
no
before.
Idea they were as rare as they are. Only 50 of them were imported to the United States,
well,
and now you have to take it off your list for next week to talk about because we're talking about
we're already talking about it now.
One of 50 in the United States, one of 400 produced right. Worldwide.
And so. The good thing you put your kids in the back seat when you're screaming around,
you
and
know it. That's
600
right.
horsepower, teaching them how to drift and go crazy fast.
Put a 4-point harness on them and get go racing. That yeah. thing is amazing.
Ratchet that thing down,
mm-hmm. And less than 3,000 miles. miles on it. I think it's got 2,200
miles. 2,200
miles,
yeah. And the, just, it's amazing. And the interior is beautiful.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I don't like red interiors.
No,
this,
no, no.
This one is nice.
No, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. It's a beautiful car and very, very unusual. And if you get a chance, classicautomall.com, we'll take it off the list for next week. you know, the other thing that Harry and I were talking about, Cool Cars for Kids, the event coming up, one of the directors of the Cool Cars for Kids is Dick Vermeil, the coach.
Oh, that's right.
Old coach of the Eagles and not old coach, but the
former coach
of the Eagles and also the St. Louis Rams. Looking forward to that event as we always do. And they always have some wonderful silent auction stuff, and we always have fun bidding on that. And I get a little territorial on silent auction stuff. I'll be watching that guy,
oh, really?
Watching that sheet. And that, wait a minute, what did that guy? That guy signed in? Let me sign in. And basically, you just keep writing however much you're willing to pay as the next line until they say stop and no more bidding. And then hopefully you win something. And then they have a couple of live auction items. And I got a great Shelby jacket last year that was signed by Brock, the father of the Cobra Daytona. Chuck Cantwell, the father of the GT350, second employee of Shelby America, and Roy Schoberg, the father Viper, they call him, who was at Dodge during the Viper development and sales and was kind of the master of that. So, you know, that was so cool being down there. And then last year, Scott Pruitt was a Spirit of Competition Award winner down at the Simeone, which is a whole nother thing that they do. And he and I become kind of friends. He's got a winery out in Southern California, and he's a brand ambassador for Lexus. And so he tests all the new Lexus, and I'm anxious to talk to him about the RCF, yeah.
Track edition.
Coupe, not four-door coupe, like
no,
Mercedes did.
Two-door coupe.
You know, the CLS Mercedes is a four-door coupe.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's odd, though.
They
four-door
are.
Coupe.
That's right.
Well, but people think that a sedan means, we've talked about this, four-door. Yeah. It doesn't mean
that's right.
Four-door.
It could be have a two-door sedan with a post.
With the post.
At Classic Automall, you can see a little of everything.
Absolutely everything. Every kind of body configuration.
Yep.
You know.
That's true.
Possible. There's, I mean.
You might see a 959 kit on a Volkswagen. You never know what pops into Classic Automall.
Not only a 959, but a 959 Roadster.
Yeah.
So it's not even just a plain old 959. It's the 959 Roadster, which I will argue is better looking than the 917 Laser that they came out back in the day that had that tried to emulate the 917 Porsche with that.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tall wing and
real
things.
Long.
And yeah, there were some interesting cars that were built in limited quantities. Excaliburs come to mind. Clunets come to mind in the more longer, elegant 30s type cars. You had the Laser, the Bricklin, the DeLorean for that matter. All these cars that were kind of really specialty cars that didn't make a whole lot of. They're pretty rare now. Some of them are becoming quite valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we never thought we'd see value out of a Bricklin, right?
No.
Even DeLoreans, too. We always thought
were,
you know, DeLoreans problem was the problem that every guy that tries to be in the car business has is underfunded and then they start cutting corners and underpowered and, you know, all the things because they can't afford to do with the things that they want to do. And the price doubles from what, you know, it was going to be $19,000 when it started. And I'm just making round numbers. I don't know what it was going to be, but it was $19,000 and turned out to be $39,000 and it didn't have the same motor and didn't have this and it didn't have that. The Cosworth Vega had that happen that when Chevrolet built the Vega and built a Cosworth edition, initially it was going to be a bad boy. And even Chevrolet with all the money in the world couldn't really justify spending the kind of money that they needed to make it what it should have been.
Right. But they're still cool.
They're still very cool.
Pretty rare. We should look into having Malcolm Bricklin on the show. He's still around, right?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Let me make a note here.
Talk
somewhere.
About underfunded.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder where. I wonder if he's in England or if he's.
I don't know where he lives. I know his son is here.
Or yeah.
In the United States, but I don't know where Malcolm is. I'll check that out.
Yeah, find Malcolm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that should be on our show that are not.
And if you know them, podcast@classicautomall.com is our email address.
We'll give you a finder's fee.
That's
we'll
right.
Give you a hat.
Okay.
A very cool hat.
Good hats.
There are good hats. Dang it. I have to say that every time because people think, a lowly old hat?
Right.
No, these are cool hats.
We have cool hats, cool swag here at Classic
Lots
Automall.
Of cool swag.
We don't
cool.
have a gift shop, but we do have a little.
We have a gift case.
Gift case. We don't have to man it.
We don't have to man it. It can just man itself.
Staff it.
Staff it. Yeah, we don't have to have a gift shop. Person.
Right.
You know, we not like we got enough going on around here. Now we need a whole gift shop. Although Kathy would love to have a gift shop, my wife.
Yeah.
She would love to have a gift shop here. She would enjoy buying the stuff for it. And
that'd be
that
fun,
stuff.
Yeah.
And it would be fun, and we would make it really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If we were going to do a gift shop, it would be really cool.
All right. Maybe the boutique area will have a special shop.
Could possibly.
High-end shop, you know.
Could possibly
and
do
maybe
that.
Open up the food court.
Well, yeah. And speaking of stuff for sale here,
yes.
We have Harry Hurst, who was just on the show with us, his photographs down our mm-hmm. north hallway, and they're all for sale. And there's some wonderful shots. I mean, Harry first went to Sebring in 60-something,
mm-hmm.
and started taking pictures, I think, with a little Brownie camera, which, if those of you don't know, was just a little inexpensive camera back in the day, and went on to publish two books on Sebring, and I think he goes every year. He probably hasn't missed a year, I wouldn't imagine. But he's got some wonderful photographs that he's taken from Sebring and from other venues, Road Atlanta and different places. And we have them for sale down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we, by September, the ones that haven't sold, we put them in our auction that we're going to do. And by the way, we are going to do another auction
awesome.
In September. We
wow.
just haven't set the date.
Okay.
It's going to be a Friday.
Woo.
Because we can't have Saturdays at our own facility because they're all booked.
Nah, that's funny.
I know. We pushed our own sales out of our own place, you know. We'll do another auction. We're toying with doing an absolute or no reserve auction.
Mm-hmm.
150 cars, all, you know, absolute and for sale, regardless of price. And we're going to adjust our fees a little bit too, make them a little bit more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about having an auction here at Classic Auto Mall is that we don't have to rent a facility. We don't have to do a whole lot of extra marketing. We don't have to hire nearly the staff that you'd have if you went to the convention center or, you know, a Coliseum
mm-hmm.
or even the Greater Oaks Expo Center that we
right.
own down, or my partner owns down in, Oaks. So we don't have, that overhead that most auctions have to pay for. So we would allow us to maybe modify our fees a little bit so they aren't quite as expensive. And we have lots of people that have cars here that, you know, get to the point where they say, boy, it's really time for it to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it at your place for 3 or 4 months and we're not quite getting the activity. And I know it's probably the price and I probably paid too much or whatever, the market shifted, but I really like to sell the car. And sometimes we buy cars like that, not very often, but every once in a while we buy a car like that. The problem is that I try to only buy cars that I like
mm-hmm.
and not that I dislike any of the cars in here, but I don't like every car in here.
Right.
When I own something, I want to own it knowing that if I never can sell it, I wouldn't hate myself for owning
for
it.
For having it. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So,
so possible auction in September.
Not
Harry
possible.
Hurst artwork possibly going to auction.
It will be at auction. Anything we haven't
nice.
Sold till then by then. And possibly 150 cars, absolute no reserve. So
that's awesome.
If you have any questions about the auction, if you have a vehicle that you're interested in putting in. And again, sometime in September, we're going to be doing it. You can email us at podcast@classicautomall.com or you can call us at 888-227-0914. All of this can be found on our website, our contact info. Reach out to us. Let us know. There's an auction tab on our site that you can click on and submit a potential car for the sale. And reach out to us and let
yeah.
us know. And don't forget the Cool Cars for Kids event at the Simeon. That's just an amazing event. And Dr. Ian Krantz, who founded this event, is going to be on our podcast next
mm-hmm.
week via Zoom. He's going to be traveling, so he's from the area. But like Harry, he'll be on the road, but he's agreed to and wants to be on our show to help promote what they're doing for Cool Cars for Kids. And, you know, it's amazing. We didn't talk about it. Harry was mentioning the fact that it's kids with rare diseases. And the problem is that the rarer the disease, the less likely to find a cure because, mm-hmm. you know, they're focusing, you know, all their dollars on lung cancer or,
sure.
you know, stuff that's millions of people have.
Yeah.
And then you get these one-off or two-off
mm-hmm.
or, you know, four or five kids in the whole country have something and, you know, it's not cost effective. And you hate to say that when it comes to medical stuff, that it's not cost effective. It's not supposed to be cost effective. We're supposed to just fix it.
Right.
But they don't and they can't and they don't have the money to do it. But they say with AI that it could be revolutionary, especially for small batch, if you will, diseases and ailments and things that happen to people that they're going to be able to. And like he said, the prices are coming down because the technology is getting better
mm-hmm.
and all that good stuff. And so if you can find it, Cool Cars for Kids, go online and see them and support them any way that you can. They have lots of different ways that you can donate money or donate time or donate effort or any of the above. And help them so these kids aren't suffering. You hear the stories from the families, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also inspiring, too, because the moms and dads who say, you know what, we're doing everything in our power to fix this because we want our kid to have a normal life or a better life or a longer life or whatever
sure.
it is. And it's amazing. And they are resilient people. And they're people that when you see them, you admire them for what they do.
For
it's
sure.
just it's a proud thing to be a part of. And nice words from Harry talking about us. And it's you know. it's nice that we can do that. I mean, you know, we've always wanted to do things like that. We just didn't always have the resources to do it, but having the ability to do it certainly helps. So we'll catch you next week with Dr. Ian Krantz on the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.